Fairfax, Virginia, a bustling suburb of the nation's capital. It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Yeah. Featuring Buzz Burbank with Rob Spiewak, Beth Ann McBride, and Joe Ardinger. And now, here's Mike.
Ladies and gentlemen,
live from the WJFK studios in the historic radio district.
And here's a tip for you. This weekend, go home and get yourself a nice bottle of your favorite beverage, adult or otherwise, and watch Mommy Dearest as a comedy the way we all do.
Oh, that's right. Fine, isn't it?
It is Friday, May 9th, 2008. Today on our wonderful program, Dr. Drew.
Wow.
Host of Love Lines and also host of Celebrity Rehab on VH1.
Excellent.
Also, hypnotist Gary Conrad will be here. We still haven't determined exactly who he is going to hypnotize just yet.
Hypnotize.
And, of course, we celebrate our one-month anniversary.
Yay!
Got to enjoy them while you can. That's the way I'm looking at things.
Right.
You know, you're not getting any younger. That's my my take on things. Our phone number, 877-365-3636. You can AOL instant message us at Mike O WJFK. And now we have another new email address. We seem to have one every day.
Every day we'll add one.
I keep changing that card.
Want to send us an email? You want to profess your love for Buzz Burbank? You want to give Rob a tip for what clips to play at the beginning of the show?
Right.
Or you want to just request a special photo of Beth Ann McBride? Send all your emails to O'Mara. That's O-M-E-A-R-A.
How we always refer to you.
That's how you'd be amazed how many times I'm referred to that way. It's O'Mara at WJFKFM.com. And online, you can go to WJFK.com, download our podcasts, which are still really doing gangbusters on iTunes, which is amazing.
Number 27.
You can download our podcast, post your thoughts, and coming soon, of course, MikeOmara.com.
Sure.
Hail, hail, the gang's all here. Buzz Burbank over here.
Hi.
Got Rob Spiewak over here.
Quitter.
Got Beth Ann McBride
Hello,
over here.
Handsome.
Oh, I love me the mommy dearest.
Yeah,
good
we
stuff,
all do.
Isn't it?
You know, I have to ask a question, first of all, because when you play that, I'm looking over at Beth Ann as you know, Rob and I and Buzz, we're kind of, Buzz has heard it a million times, so he knows it's funny.
By heart.
Rob and I are kind of just, you know, roaring with laughter because it's, and I'm looking at you and you kind of look like maybe you're not tracking with the comedy. And I'm wondering, because I've only watched that with my friend Peter at Thanksgiving.
That's a good question.
With a bottle of absinthe one time. And I loved it. And we watched it as a comedy. And I really think, I've been watching Mommy Dearest as a comedy for so long.
That's what it is.
Do you not think of it? Because you went at the scene where she's like getting she's whomping on Christina.
Yeah,
and Rob and I are just like going, oh my God. You know? And you didn't look like you were tracking with it.
Well, you know, it was really the show that really introduced me to the comedic value of Mommy Dearest.
See, I think really, and you point that out, I think people have to be instructed as to the comedic value of Mommy Dearest.
But I didn't have any absinthe in my body when I heard her beating her kid.
You don't need, if you're a connoisseur like we are, you don't need any alcohol.
Any alcohol at all. Just find the funny side of child abuse.
See, I think when she says, I will beat you, I will always beat you. You know, even that level, she was even competitive with her six-year-old kid.
Yeah, I'm bigger.
That was
I'm
funny.
Faster. I will always beat you.
Yeah,
and
but
then
the
she beat her.
Yes. And then she,
literally.
Unfortunately. And
put
Steve,
her in the pool house.
Steve Forrest is there, you know, right after he's made love to Faye Dunaway in the shower.
Yes.
It's a wonderful movie.
It is.
It's so goddamn funny.
The shower
funny.
With three nozzles.
You know, poor Faye Dunaway, they talk about the fact that that movie was not heralded. It was not. It did not get critical acclaim when the movie came out.
Not at first, no.
And now, and then even after that, when it got a little bit of critical acclaim, the fact is Mommy Dearest was just a caricature of Faye Dunaway. I mean, that's what you thought of Faye Dunaway.
I'm
you know, she's
sure
done some good movies.
All the acclaim that it's gotten, I guess it's about 25 or 30 years old now.
Would you consider it to be a bit of a cult film?
I would say it's a camp classic. It's very campy.
Exactly.
And it's well done, and there's never a dull moment. I love Louis B. Mayer in that movie.
Oh, fantastic. Howard Da Silva.
That was
Hello, Joni.
Will you walk me to my car, LB?
And then he just stares at her.
Exactly.
No, Joan.
No more
wine. We will part as friends.
And it really encapsulates such a different time of Hollywood.
You will leave Metro.
It was so different.
Creative differences, Joni.
Your box office poison.
That was a close second for the scene to run for today, which is our Mother's Day show.
Your movies do not make money, Joni. Unfortunately, you are box office poison. And then she totally wigs out. Box office poison!
And the roses.
Fantastic.
The wire hangers.
Oh, it's classic.
Maybe Warners will pick you up, and then they'll say, what a fool L.B. Mayer was.
Yes, but I know that I'm dumping you, Joni.
That's right.
You don't make money for the studio anymore.
I think my favorite scene is, isn't she like in a boardroom with the people, all the
bigwigs
from Pepsi?
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
Don't F with me, fellas.
I like when she's at the restaurant. It might be Sardi's.
Right.
He invites her to sit down, and she declines. And he says, Joni, I insist.
Yeah, and he stares at it. He gives that evil suit. Speaking of evil suits, I have a lot to talk about regarding that today.
Yes, please.
Mike from Napa Valley, you're on the Mike O'Mara Show. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. Happy Friday, everybody.
Thank you very much. Happy Friday to you.
And that's a good one. Hey, I was thinking while listening to that tape, could that possibly have been a reenactment of Beth Ann and her daughter when her daughter was...
Oh, what a horrible thing to say.
What a fair question.
I hate to admit.
You don't strike me as a corporal punisher, but...
No, I never hit her, but I did compete
with her. You were the single mom, right?
Yeah, I did compete with her.
And beat her? Did you beat her that way in competition?
Yeah.
What do you mean you competed with her? Exactly how did that work?
For the same man.
She still won't bowl. Because
how old is she now? 40?
She'll be 23. Oh,
she's 23 now.
Yeah, right.
Jennifer Dearest.
She's 23.
Yeah.
You find yourself competing with her?
No, only when I competed with her when she was little, and I shouldn't have.
Do you have a man in her life?
Yes.
We never talk about your daughter.
Mm-mm.
Her name's Christina, right?
It's Jennifer.
Jennifer.
That's right.
I've always remembered that. I have a good mind for names. Jennifer is wonderful.
Yes.
Is Jennifer going to come up here and visit ever? I mean, she's down in the Carolinas.
Yeah.
She's finally, really, has the umbilical cord finally severed now because you've come up here and she stayed there?
Yeah, I think it's been good that we've...
This is the first time, though, right?
Yeah, and her whole life, we've always been together. Just her and I, the Gilmore girls.
What she about so this? Wanted to join all of us again that she severed contact with her daughter, her own daughter, to come up and join us on this show.
What about this future son-in-law?
I don't think she'll marry this guy.
So why is she sticking around? She should move on.
Well, she's
23,
in school.
She should be married.
She has a job.
23, she should be married. Okay.
God forbid.
All right. Thank you very much, Rob. Rob likes to have all these women look like the, what's that house in Texas? I got the word escapes me right now. It's been a long day.
The polygamist house.
Yeah, I like that. They look like Alice from the Brady Bunch.
Well, speaking of why I've been at it all day today. Yesterday, in my office, Michael Hughes walks by and says to me, you know, as I'm nursing my terrible throat that I've had all week long, and I certainly hope I don't sound like this for the rest of my life.
I hope you do.
Wouldn't that be incredible?
I think it's fetching.
You could do certain things in broadcasting with a voice like this. You can do things along the lines
You could go places.
You know what? You could be the movie guy in a world.
Yeah.
You could
in
do
a
the
world
cast.
Where Will Smith
That's
has
good.
Ears sticking out like a taxi cab with the doors open.
That's it.
You could do Booth at CNN.
This is CNN.
Perfect.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't like doing my show because I like to yell like that.
I know.
Maybe that's part of the problem. That's why I have it. But speaking of suits, Michael Hughes rolls by my office yesterday and, you know, sticks his head in the door and goes, listen, you know, we've got this this road show with the president of the company. And I knew about that. I was supposed to go there. And I was told, I think last week, that the way this thing, last Friday, I'm told that this thing would be a luncheon. Where the CBS suits, like the big guys from corporate. What are you doing?
Nothing.
What was that?
Will you start paying attention to the show when we're in here, for God's sake?
I'm staring you right in the
always,
eyes.
I'm taking everything away from you. You're fidgeting. You fidget like the unbelievable fidgeter. What is in your hand?
Someone left a toy car.
Give it to me, please.
Here it comes.
Good Lord.
Can I have it?
Look at this.
Are you going to put it in your mouth?
Playing with a toy.
Like
and we haven't. It's not even.
Last night.
It's not even time to open up the presents yet.
I know.
Robert would love that.
Would Robert like this?
He would.
Can Robert have it?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I'll give it to you later. But if I give it to you, you're going to play with it now, too.
I don't think I
would. Where the hell was I? I was talking about Michael Hughes.
You were saying he was the best guy you've ever worked with.
He invited you to come to this luncheon.
Okay. So
but
that
you
was
called it a road show, which
was,
I like.
Well, it was really a road show. A week ago, he says, come to this luncheon. It's the new show.
Right.
We'll have you sit out there, have a little lunch.
Sit out there.
The junkies will be there.
Right.
And Michael, Dan Mason, president of the company, will acknowledge you. Thank you, Rob, from the podium.
Right.
Fine. You know, hey, cool. I love nothing like being.
Fine.
Yes. Well, then.
Fine.
Nothing like being acknowledged from the podium. There's nothing better than that. You know, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, you stand up. You're like the queen.
Thank you.
That's the coolest celebrity to have. You know,
exactly.
You stand there if you're in an audience somewhere, and we'd like to welcome so and so. And you do nothing.
Yeah, no pressure.
Nothing is required.
Well, first time you've been recognized like that since we saw Wayne Newton.
This guy. Wayne Newton actually recognized Don and I in the audience.
Yeah.
It was a big fun. And he didn't know at the time that we were absolutely just obliterated drunk.
That's right.
We were sloshed.
Really bad.
Absolutely baked. And it's like, So when you're loaded, you get up and you give the two-hander.
You dance.
How you doing, people?
Right.
Everything's fine. So yesterday, Michael Hughes comes by my office. He says, incidentally, Dan has suggested that perhaps the executives, the corporate officers, don't do some of the talking, that maybe we have some of the personalities do that. Would you like to introduce Dan?
No, this was yesterday.
Yesterday.
Oh, my.
The 10 minutes before show.
Yeah, 10 minutes before the show. The luncheon is today. So I'm sitting there going, because really, radio people, you find this is true, Buzz, too. Mm-hmm. We can talk in front of a group of 10,000.
Oh, sure.
But you get us to talk in front of a group of, 40, 50, 100, a small group, it's very tense.
Nerve-wracking, yeah.
Especially when it's a corporate environment.
Right, and it's the people that do the same thing you do.
Corporate outings, corporate conclaves are very, very academic in their speaking. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to get up, it's the podium, it's the formal little, ladies and gentlemen, here we are, our thoughts organized. This kind of public speaking is just throw it up and see what crap sticks to the wall. That's why we do this so well, because it's spontaneous,
right.
And you can do this at, you know, not everybody can do this, obviously, but you do this, it's fun. It doesn't require, in my opinion, any appreciable talent or intelligence. You just come in here and do this. When you've got the formal room.
And it's all you.
That's mm-hmm. why, you know, in a way, stand-up comedy is that way as well.
Yes.
You kind of have to have your thoughts organized. And I hate organizing my thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I especially hate it if I have to, like, give a serious intro.
Sure.
So the one thing I said to Michael, I said, well, I wouldn't mind doing it, but, I mean, can it be funny? He's like, yeah. Yeah, I just don't lose me my job. And then he walks out. You know, it's like, thank you.
That was kind of funny.
Yeah. But you know, but
the
really,
pressure.
That's
yeah,
my direction.
Right.
He walked out and walked into a wall.
But that's why he does what he does.
Right.
He doesn't know that by telling me that instantaneously I've got the heart rate, you know, get the blood pressure cuff on me because I've got 5 minutes to come in here and do a show, and he lays this thing on me. So I'm thinking about it. I talked to Rob. I like, let's come up with some concepts.
Concepts.
And right. Well, really, because, right. I mean, what do you do? You know, you got to make fun of somebody.
Well, you'll
and
agree.
It's the effing president of the company.
The big boss.
You'll agree. If you get a concept in place,
right.
Then you can work backwards. Now, we had a concept yesterday.
Immediately.
You went a different direction.
Yeah, Rob and I were going to work on a concept. We had one
puppies.
Immediately that the concept was solid. I thought it would be funny. And then I did change it when I got home, and I went in a totally different direction.
I think a wise choice.
And it was a home run. It was actually, it went over very well.
Good.
Got lots of that. And with a room like that, let me tell you, with a room like that, brother, as Robert Blake would say, yeah, there, man, brother, you better get them right from the get-go. Otherwise, they'll murder you. They'll slice you open like Parmesan cheese, brother. What were you going to say?
No, I was listening.
You were saying something. You were going to ask
something. How many different versions did you have?
Just one.
Just one?
I changed one word.
Okay.
I changed one word. I'll tell you what that word. I changed
from hump to stain.
No, I changed from
fly
to well groomed.
To well groomed.
Good choice.
What did you say?
Good corporate choice.
What I did was I got up there and I said, "When your boss comes by and says that he wants you to introduce his boss, you realize that you know, you're the rookie on the team and you have to take the opportunity when it presents itself. What do you say? What words can you say about a man who has the power to make you disappear with just a phone call?" and then I went on and I got the words, and the words were just silly.
Right.
So the words were, and of course I followed Donnie Simpson. And here's the book on Donnie. All right, Donnie, I've known Donnie for, I think now, over 20 years. I've known Donnie Simpson.
Wow.
And Donnie Simpson is
smooth.
Cool as the other side
yeah.
of the pillow. He yeah. is the coolest guy. He gets up and does his radio's fantastic, man. Let me tell you, I love radio. You know what? And Donnie gives the speech that is, you know, a little funny, but a little radio is great, and kind of a sales pitch at the same time, and how good it is.
It's cotton candy.
And he's just so natural and so smooth. And I'm sitting there going, oh, my God, I'm going to be fired. I'm giving the total yuck, irreverent speech that's, you know, that no one's going to laugh at. And if nobody laughs at it, not only will I have died, but I followed Donnie Simpson.
Right.
And thank God the spontaneity came out of me, and I riffed on Donnie Simpson for a little bit, going, you know, there's Donnie, you know, cool guy Donnie, always following Donnie. Donnie's got all the money, Donnie. Donnie's the man, Donnie. And here I am, you know, Mr. Schlub coming up and back at Donnie. The bottom line was it was a very good intro.
Well, good.
And the boss, here's the best part. Are you ready for this?
Oh, you scored?
No, didn't score, but after the whole thing was done, Rom,
yeah.
The man came over to me
hey.
From across the room.
Wow.
Said, hey, that was great. Thank you. So I'm like... Thank you.
Well, on
here's the deal.
Of the show,
congratulations.
On behalf of the show, thank you.
You know, we are real excited about this show. The word on the street is great about the show, but you always have to cover your ass.
Of course.
Cover your ass with management. And yes, I fully accept the fact that I am a suck up to management. I have to be in this particular position. And when he came over there, it was great. But when I went into the room, we sit down, and I said to Lurch and the rest of the junkies, I said, where are we supposed to sit? He said, we're supposed to sit at the reserve tables. So I sit down next to Lurchy, and this little guy comes up to me, and he walks up. And I don't know who this guy was, and I don't want to, like, piss him off because he's one of the muckety-mucks as well.
Right.
He walks over to me and said, I think we need these two chairs. So Lurch, and who's he saying this in front of? The one sports junkie and the one guy on this radio station, the two people at the radio station that probably have been in the most bar fights.
Yeah.
Right?
It's Lurchy. Don't get along?
It's Lurchy and me. No, Lurchy and I. No, listen to learn to listen. Yeah. He's saying that to both of us.
Right.
You see? And Lurchy looks at me and I look at him like, who's this ass?
Yeah, who's he?
And, who's this guy?
You know, I get over and move to another seat and I'm looking at Lurch. And Lurch is looking at me like, we ought to just move back over. This is like nothing, but we're creating something out of it.
Uh-huh.
Because he said, we should just move back over. We should just move back over.
Yeah, that's what we ought to do.
See what little guy's going to do.
Yeah.
So it turns out this is the guy that's giving the whole presentation.
Oh, good thing you moved.
You didn't needle him.
Yeah, no, he was fine. Was he
fine?
He was every bit corporate America.
He needed to be in the front to do his thing.
Yeah, but it went over well. It was fine, but I wanted to share with everybody Rob's idea. The initial idea we had for introducing the president of the company was going to be that we were going to completely fabricate his biography. And I was going to say something that we were unable to find any information on the internet, but Rob went on Wikipedia last night and was able to find information
about the introduction you didn't do.
Our fearless leader,
yes.
Dan Mason. And then I was going to stand in front of the crowd and I was going to read this. He rejuvenated his career after he lost over 200 pounds on a diet of only Caesar salads and fierce determination. He once fed a meeting of over 200 general managers and PDs, that's program directors,
right,
with only four fishes and a loaf of bread, along with 23 cases of vodka.
See,
they're reacting the room would have gone round.
Yeah, right.
I think this is funny stuff. He realized that acting wasn't in the cards for him after he was written out of the series after only three episodes of The Hills. He nearly made the top four in the fourth season of American Idol, but was just edged out by Constantine Maroulis.
Tragic, really?
Oh, God.
What do you think?
I like it.
Would I be booed out of the room or what?
No,
funny.
Not at all.
I like it. I'm enjoying it.
But you needed the music.
It wouldn't have mattered because I'm enjoying it. Oh, I would have needed the music.
Yeah, the music helps immensely.
Yeah.
Boy, if you knew you have an audiovisual presentation,
you
can get that. He knew that showbiz was in the cards for him.
Like the choir singing.
After following the success of his stepbrother, Robert Wagner. Not a single crisis transpired during his tenure as the head of FEMA. As bass guitarist of REO Speedwagon, he had 19 hit records that set America's toes a-tapping. This is the best part here.
Yes?
He filled in briefly for magician Roy Horn.
After his tragic
tiger accident. I'm sure you remember the Mirage Marquis reading Siegfried and Mason for 28 glorious performances.
Uh-huh.
And then he ends up, but I should wind up this because Dan has got to get to Crawford, Texas, where he will be serving as the celebrant at the Jenna Bush wedding.
If I'd had the balls to do it anyway, it'd be funny. It's a good day
when you're throwing away material that good.
You know, but
so
I had to share it. Had to share it with the listening audience.
No one enjoys my writing more than me.
It was well worthwhile. I was very, very excited. And then afterwards, on my way out, the sales manager for the corporation, I forgot what his name is. I'm terrible on names. You do the whole name
gold?
Game, don't you? Anyway, let me stop that.
it's not gold.
Don't do this to me.
Come back, Mike. We need you.
Don't do this to me on Friday, Rob. I swear
to you
God.
Back.
You're going to kill me.
No.
You're making me laugh.
What did he do?
What you don't know. Was his name gold?
Was his name gold?
Probably.
wow.
Siegfried and gold.
So it was a fine little luncheon, and on my way out, the national sales manager for CBS takes me aside and said, there's this woman that wants to just say hello to you, and she's a client, and she will go nameless. She didn't want me to mention her name. She said, I've had a crush on you. Wow.
Can you believe that?
Wow.
A crush.
Nice. Well, I'm not surprised.
On me.
So it was just
good way to end a day.
For me, for the show,
yeah.
I think it was a very productive thing to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we have to try a little harder.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we're the little engine that could. I think we're a fine, big, strong engine. But,
locomotive.
You know, you got to do those little things. And I think you got to, you know, all of you have to be involved in these. I think it was kind of a gas to watch what they were doing. A gas. And then, of course, I have to get my Edsel all fired up.
I've never met any
gas.
Of these people.
Yes, sir. As Patton Oswalt would say, and then I went to an ether frolic. Yes, sirree. But
the audience went bananas.
You know, when you are called upon, and we have done this show for 1 month, and I am tapped on the shoulder to introduce the president of CBS Radio, it is it's a daunting task, and I was very glad that it went over well. And I did not use any lubrication. No, I did say goddamn.
You did?
Oh, my.
I said goddamn when I was talking about Donnie.
Oh.
Because, you know, Donnie was talking about a contract renegotiation. You see, Donnie is so smooth.
Mm-hmm.
He mentions the fact we're really looking forward to having our... our renegotiation go on, too. And I'm like, oh, Donnie, right in the front of the president, right there with all the advertisers.
Oh, boy.
I mean, how much balls? I love Donnie.
Yeah.
Donnie,
sure.
More than any man in the world, makes me want to be black. Yeah. I swear to God.
Right,
I want to be an African-American when I'm around Donnie, because Donnie is the man.
At any point during the luncheon, did his eyes open?
He's just too cool.
Hey. He's too cool to open his eyes.
Can you believe that, though? He brings that thing up right in the middle of all these people. And I'm like, oh, man. What a what a negotiator. God, he's my hero.
Mad that he thought of it first.
Meanwhile, I'm over there. Yes, sir. And like, I'm the only one that wore a suit and tie, too,
you
which
look
is
so
typical.
Nice.
I look like the kid that goes to school.
No, you look
I'm
nice.
Like the kid going to church. That's exactly what I look like.
Bitch and tie, Mike. You look
Thank
great.
Thank you. I appreciate it. But really, the junkies were all there. They were in their morning show outfit, you know. I mean, they're cash with some sport coats. They had some sport coats on.
Sport coats and sweatpants?
Donnie wore like his cool outfit. You know, I mean, he's just cool.
Donnie's
always cool. Isn't he? And meanwhile, I'm there, you know, hello, sir. You know, three. You know, here's my suitcase. Here's my briefcase. First day of work.
Hughes was in his jumpsuit.
Nice.
What?
Hughes was in his jumpsuit.
His usual jumpsuit. Let's
Very
go
nice.
To Pat in Reno, Nevada.
Hello.
Pat, you're on the Mike O'Mara show. How are you? Pat.
Pat.
Hello, Pat. Can you hear me, Pat?
Well, that's just rude.
Well, anyway, on another note, last night I was required. One of the things that I do with this job now is that I am required to go home and study and do homework, which I have not done before. Homework is a fun thing when you're doing a radio show.
It
homework
can be,
is really
yes.
like, you know, you occasionally have to read an article, but very rarely. Mostly Beth Ann will give me a DVD and I will have to race home. And unfortunately, I also received a DVD from BDK, Kevin, who we had discussed. Is Kevin around?
I'm sure he was
at the front
All right.
desk.
I don't mean to wail on this kid. I really don't. But
right.
I mean, he is, I got to tell him something. I mean, he is so excited about this movie he gave me a copy of.
Shall we have Joe fetch him?
Yeah, get
Joe,
BDK
please fetch
down
BDK.
Here. So one of the movies is called Demons for Hillary, and it features a guy we're going to have on the show Monday.
Right, the filmmaker.
All right, and my question to you, Ms. McBride, a McBridian question for you.
You shall get a McBridian answer.
When you book these people, how... Sometimes, what is the thought process? Because I have to
thought
say,
process?
What in the name of what the F is this guy? What is he?
I don't
Do you
know.
Have
He's
any
a
idea?
Filmmaker.
How was he pitched to you? Where did he come from? It's amazing. You
An
gotta
email?
Watch. You gotta watch this movie. Who's seen this movie?
You.
Yeah.
So
what is
the
filmmaker and me this weekend?
I swear to God, it's very, very strange. Hello, Tim from Idaho. You're on the Mike O'Mara show.
The CBS lawyers are going to thank you for admitting that the boss complimented you on the speech. You can't use that in a suit when they fire you tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah.
So, in other words, the fact that I say that he gave me the thumbs up, that's a good thing when they try to fire me?
Yeah, you can't come back and say you were fired because it was a crappy speech.
Wow.
That's at least...
Are you a lawyer?
No.
How do you know these things? Do you have a stuffed up head?
Yes, I do.
You have a cold?
Yeah.
I have a little laryngitis. Sucks, doesn't it?
Your voice sounds tons better today.
It does. Does it really?
Oh, well, yeah.
See, I think it sounds worse.
Because of the rain has washed the pollen
it
out of the
It sounds raspy.
Air.
Thanks for calling, Tim. We appreciate it. Let's go to Chris in Spokok. Whatever that means. What can I do for you, Chris?
Just want to tell you that your show could use some euthanizing.
Some euthanizing?
Like on The Office last night, for those of us who watched
it.
Oh, that's so funny. I love that show. That was a great
Michael
show
tried
last
to
night.
Euthanize The Office.
But, you know, when you say something like that, I'm paranoid. You don't really mean it. You like the show, right, Chris?
Oh, no.
Euthanize in this application means to make it young.
I know. I watched The Office.
Oh, I didn't know.
I know it's the one show you watch
Michael,
every week.
Michael went to a
no,
job
I
fair.
Watched more than that, and you said you spent 3 hours playing poker last night, so I thought maybe you missed
it. I watched
The Office.
It on my TiVo,
okay,
damn it.
Well, good for you.
Here, play with your car. All right, Chris.
Okay. That's right.
Now I think your show could use some euthanizing.
What do you mean by that?
Just kidding. I love
yeah,
you guys.
Well, God damn it, I'm sensitive today, you
he
know?
Is.
I've had a very paranoid day.
Yes.
All right, but Jesus, Buzz.
What did Buzz say?
Buzz, I don't know. But
what didn't he say?
I was just trying to get that, make that clear. Hello, BDK. Welcome to our show.
Hi, Mike. How
Buzz
are you
has some questions for you.
You look really good today, Mike.
No, I was, you know, I was with the suits.
I mean, you look very nice. I like the tie.
Thank
and
you. Why don't you sit down for a second? Okay. I need to talk to you.
I'll go over to this mic.
Right. You can play poker and watch it. It's called TiVo, Buzz.
Okay. All right. I just didn't
I
know.
Like The Office. You know, I watch everything.
Well,
watch
I'm glad you saw it. I knew you were playing poker, and I thought maybe you're tied
I thought
up.
He was watching the movies.
It's nice to have Kevin so close to you, isn't it?
You know what I did? Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Mike.
You were writing speeches.
Do not touch him.
Hey, by the way.
I will hit you in the balls. I swear to God.
He comes around the office and tries to hit me in the balls sometimes.
I do. He
Good
deserves
you,
it.
Mike.
And he gets me. He got me once, and I was in pain for like two days.
Apparently, it's a hell of a target.
Everybody just shut up for a second. I have to talk to this boy. Where was I? I'm totally flustered now. I'm trying to remember my train of thought. Hold on. Let me see if I can remember. I can't remember what I was going to ask. Anyway, BDK, I want to talk to you.
Yes, Mike.
You gave me a movie. None of you have seen this movie. The movie is called Teeth.
Teeth.
Right. Has he got a chance to talk to you about this movie?
No, yes. Not at all.
I've read about it.
Never heard of it.
There are two things. There are about eight things at play here. But one of the things, did you go on the Junks and talk about it today?
Yeah, I talked about it a little bit today.
All right,
yeah.
So we're a little late to the party on that. But they haven't seen it, right?
No one's seen it.
Except for me.
Except for you.
And you.
And me.
All right, here's what concerns me. I'm going to get to the content of this movie in a little bit.
Sure.
But this is what really disturbs me. You are way too effing excited about this movie.
It's so intriguing.
But why this movie? I've never seen you. You know, you're a high energy guy. Look at the legs moving right now, like that. But you're a high energy guy to start with. But why are you just so like passionate about this movie?
You can't tell me that that's one of the most intriguing plot lines for a film.
Look at me in the eyes, okay? Really?
Yeah.
This is serious.
Okay.
I can tell you this is not one of the most intriguing plots I have ever seen.
It's a great idea.
No, this is your mind, and this is what excites you.
The movie.
If you're going to be a movie reviewer, you have to realize there are all different points of view.
Correct.
And I guarantee you that I certainly know that Mr. Burbank, and I'm reasonably sure Mr. Spiewak, in fact, that's a lock, and probably Ms. McBride over here. You know the content of this movie?
Well, Teeth.
Yes.
The movie is called
what is the
Teeth.
Genre?
It involves,
now try not to giggle, okay, when I'm telling
you. Is it vagiodentosis? Is that the word?
the woman yes. has teeth down there.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Is that possible?
Well, who knows? I mean, I have no idea.
Is it medically accurate?
There's urban legends behind it. I don't know for sure. If you can look it up online.
It's not remotely true. There's
happens.
No way.
Those yeah. teeth bite things off, don't
yes.
they? Okay.
Mm-hmm. And Kevin has been bouncing off the walls of the radio station like this is the greatest thing that has ever been invented. That this movie is like, you got to see this. It's amazing. So I'm listening to this, and I'm like, all right, you know, it's intriguing. I'll, you know, give me a copy of the movie. I'll take it home. I'll take a look at it. This movie is there's crap, you know, there's garbage, and then there's something below that. There, you know, even the theme I could handle if the movie had any redeeming qualities. I mean, as far as cinematography.
The acting? How's the acting?
It is such
horrible.
Garbage. It is beyond bad. This
even
is not,
one name in it?
This is not an F movie. This is not, an F movie. That's
hey.
What it sounds like. This is not a B, a C, a D movie. This is the... What are you doing?
Writing.
Is Buzz our stenographer for the show?
He's somehow distracting me today. I'm not sure why. Did you hear what we were talking about?
I did.
Okay, what were we talking about?
Talking about the movie Teeth.
Look at Buzz's teeth. I like Buzz's teeth.
What was I saying
Buzz's
about
good
it?
Now, see, now I don't remember.
Are there... Okay, I'll just...
There's no big stars.
What are the saying? Is it normal sized teeth?
I was saying it's not even a B movie.
It's below a D level.
It's a horrible movie.
Apparently they're shark-like.
Shark-like teeth.
Oh, so there's rows of teeth.
Here's the deal. I didn't get that because I didn't watch a lot of dialogue.
Yeah.
I TiVo'd through this. I really, frankly, TiVo'd right up to get the first time that the guy is doing the and the thing's got the teeth and it bites and the guy goes, you know, the guy's just going, oh, my God.
May
but,
offer this?
You know, frankly, the opening of the little vignette, there's a name for what they call that. It's the prologue to the film where the two little ones are playing in the kiddie pool and it's a, you know, I show you mine, you show me yours. Type of thing, and he reaches down and he gets
he
a cut
a
on his finger.
Wow.
So that got me, but Jesus, I swear.
How are
God.
The special effects that they obviously yeah. they
horrible?
Do you see the teeth? Yeah,
ridiculous. No. Like somebody, you know, all the, you know what it was? The guy was, somebody gave the guy like a garden hose. And asked him to hold it between his legs. That's really all it was. Because really, it is that.
Looks like something that, new
now,
and I
look,
did.
Now you're becoming crestfallen. You think that you're talking about this, but and Kevin's saying to me, but what about? But what about? You see about with the dog? You know,
it's meant to be a B-rated movie. You would see like back in the day in a drive-through, just with horrifyingly disgusting violence.
You are giving that movie.
It's not
infinite more credit than it deserves.
It's not a good movie. It's just fun to watch.
How? All right. Now, you obviously they send you these. You said what?
It's fun to watch.
It's fun to watch. It's fun to watch. Like if you're
fun?
Charles Manson.
I almost threw up two times over the movie. I was, and that's what he delights in.
That's how you measure
fun. Because our generation tries to top.
Oh, now
what
don't play the
was.
Age card
no,
with
no,
me.
No, I'm saying
we
like,
need to euthanize
in
the
show. Like, violence in all these movies, like Hostel and Saw. They're trying to top out who could be more violent.
Now wait a minute. No. See, no. I'm a fan of Hostel.
You like Hostel?
I love Saw.
Okay.
The original Saw.
Okay.
I don't like and Hostel. I thought was a.
Hostel was
I mean,
great.
Here's what's great about Hostel. What's great about Hostel is there's a plot.
Mm-hmm.
There's a plot that's actually scary. You know, any kids that are thinking about going over to Europe and like riding a train and meeting somebody and trying to get laid, that's an amazing plot. And really, that's why I'm intrigued by that. Not an amazing plot, but it's a plot that gets you in. This thing didn't have a plot.
You're telling me.
Stupid.
Mike, you were
it's stupid. Little girl, and she like goes to school. You mean to tell? All right, you want to analyze the plot?
You were drawn in.
Let me. No,
you
I was not
in.
Drawn in.
Why'd you want to see it so bad?
Because you were screaming at me about
it's a great,
it.
It's a hilarious Kevin, idea for a plot.
You Kevin, sold it, Kevin.
Kevin, your argument falls to the ground when you say, "Why did you want to see it?" The thing is after he began to watch it. It lost him, and that's exactly when he should have been sucked in.
And the thing is, you mean to tell me this girl that has this, quote, condition isn't going to, like, track with it until she's 17 or 18 years old?
I think, well, remember, she tries to be pure throughout the entire movie because she knows she has an issue.
And then,
oh,
what,
I hope
and then,
I don't have it.
Well, there's one, there's a moment,
we'll never know.
Let me put it lightly, there's a moment of self-discovery.
Oh, does she lose a finger?
But this thing is such... It's so.
Okay, Mike,
you talked about this, and I'm like, you know, maybe it's going to be a horror movie that's going to be kind of cool. It was so disappointing. Now, wait a minute. This is somebody. I hope this isn't. You know,
a lot of
it
calls.
Would have to be Northern California.
Of course.
Somebody that has seen it. I guarantee it. Kurt, you're on the Mike O'Mara show. Hi, Kurt.
Hey, Mike. I wanted to call in about teeth.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen the movie, but I know what it's about, and it is. It's medically possible, not that extreme, but it's calcium deposits and. They don't have enamel on them, but yeah, technically it could happen, but not to that extreme.
You know, we're going to have Dr. Drew.
They're not shark-like.
We're going to have Dr. Drew on the show today.
A dermoid is a very unusual tumor.
A dermoid. It was dermoid, right?
That's right. When you cut into it, you can find teeth and hair.
But the teeth that were part of this woman were like
aggressive. Like Julia Roberts?
It's like bear trap type stuff. That's exactly it. Yeah. Because really, oh, that, seriously, this is, and I really do believe my sound effect. Effect mm-hmm. is exactly as accurate as the movie.
Okay.
And, you know, they're like two little teens, and all of a sudden they decide finally that they're going to consummate their relationship, and they're going, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. Oh.
that is the exact sound. That is the exact sound.
It is.
You hear it like four times over the entire
right.
movie.
They have your sound.
That is the exact sound.
Oh, baby. Oh, God. All right, get out of here, Kevin. You and your teeth, get out of here right now.
I want to see the movie now.
When is your movie show on?
5 o'clock.
When? What day?
On Sundays.
Sundays at 5 o'clock here in Washington, D.C.
As if you didn't know.
The BDK. I've listened to it a couple of times.
Every time.
1 hour of just hyperactivity that you don't want to miss on WJFK. That's BDK's movie review. Has he not been bouncing off the walls?
He's been excited all
you gotta
week.
You got to see this, Mike. You got to see this.
About that movie.
It's incredible. Let's take another phone call here. We go to Tito. Oh, my favorite name in Suchester, New York.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
How you doing? They're getting weaker, aren't they, Rob?
Yeah.
A little bit. How you doing? What can we do for you, Tito?
Is there a sequel to Teeth when she gets braces?
You're giving them ideas.
Everybody's, you know, I swear to God, there'll be an audience for it, but it is just so... And you have to wait a long time. Look, when
don't you admit, though, the story does kind of sound intriguing?
Well, you know what I did? Yeah. I put it in the old machine, the same TiVo that I watched The Office with.
TiVo machine? And,
but I put it in my DVD player, and I fast-forward right to the, you know,
the
important scene. Really, and that's what the whole movie is like,
well,
leading
cheated,
up to this.
Man.
I totally cheated.
Well, I mean,
just couldn't linger
movie.
With that dialogue, Buzz.
You're going to miss out on the cinematography.
It was so bad. And the lady was like, not the actress was not attractive either.
Right.
Oh, that's too bad.
Like a C-level actress.
Can you give anything as a positive to it? I mean, he's
no.
so excited.
No. You know what he likes? He is pure. He is all about the pure shock value of it. It's like, you're not going to believe what happens down there. And that's where he is. That's what he thinks about.
Uh-huh. Wouldn't it be fun to sit him down and show him a really good horror movie?
You know what would be nice to do? We should familiarize him with a movie, an old movie for all of us oldsters, called A Clockwork Orange,
yes,
by the great Stanley Kubrick. Mm-hmm. And we should give BDK a little session like that, you know, brainwash him and just calm him down a little bit.
I'm not sure it would take.
Hold his eyes open.
This kind of guy got to like slip something into his drink. I'd like to see him mellow. I'd like to see him just like fall asleep.
Then you'd
in the
have
corner.
To stab him.
Let's really?
Go to Emily in the Bay Area. How you doing, Emily?
Hi, good. How are you?
Is that San Francisco Bay or Chesapeake Bay?
That would be the San Francisco Bay Area.
What can we do for you today?
Oh, I was just calling because I actually saw Teeth in the theater.
Of course, you're from San Francisco.
Yeah,
of course
exactly,
you saw it.
Exactly.
It was in theaters?
Was it one of those art house theaters?
It definitely. It was in like a little independent theater.
Okay. Can you back me up on Teeth, Emily?
Well, you know, actually, I really like the movie, but I just wanted to point
Oh, my
out,
God. Emily!
No. I just want to point out that one of the main points of the movie that I think a lot of people miss is the first time this really happens where she actually, you know, bites something off.
Right.
In the middle of being sexually assaulted. So the movie's really about
dealing
with tragedy.
Okay.
And
see, I was fast-forwarding it, and I didn't realize that. I
thought
when I fast-forwarded, I thought that was her boyfriend.
Well, it's not exactly her. It's sort of like someone she's kind of seeing, but they're both, you know, purists because that's like her thing that she does.
Oh.
So she's sort of like back and forth. They're kissing a little bit, but she kind of says like, you know.
I'm not sure I agree with you, Emily Steinem.
I can't do this. So I'm just saying it's definitely an art house movie. You got to be like an independent dork to really like it, which I totally am.
And it's got kind of a feminist angle. Is that what you're talking about there, Emily? Emily, do you shave your armpits?
I definitely do. I shave everything.
God bless you. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you for the call, Emily. We appreciate
it. Yeah, my pleasure. Bye-bye.
Did you see the scene with the dental floss?
Everything.
I wanted to ask Emily, how does it end?
I didn't even
watch
the end.
Watch the
you
end?
Know, the bottom
Why
line, the movie sucked.
We'll never know how it ended.
The movie sucked. It just sucked. It's not good enough to make a point about sexual assault. It's not. It's a total.
She was in the middle of being
It's an exploitive, horrible, ill-produced, ill-conceived.
It'll win all the awards. Wait
to
see.
And how about this? Emily seemed to imply you didn't like it because you weren't cool.
That's it too.
What's your deal, Emily?
I'm not part of the San Francisco art scene.
You got to be sort of cool like me, Emily.
Let's go to Jay in Fairfax. Jay, you're on the show.
Cool Jay.
How's it going, Mike?
How you doing, Jay?
Hi, Buzz.
Hey.
I just want to say, a question for you. Any guesses of what Roger Ebert gave it on a ratings from the 4 stars?
Did he say Rodney Ebert?
No, Roger Ebert.
He said Roger.
Roger Ebert?
Yeah.
I don't think it'll even make the Ebert and Roper show. And Godspeed to Roger Ebert, too.
I don't think I will see
Is
it.
He using that now? Is that how he's communicating?
Yeah, remember with the British accent.
Hello.
No, it's not one of those. It's a computer.
So he can't speak anymore, right?
No.
That's a shame.
You know what movie he would hate to review is Jaws, because he lost.
Well, Teeth, too. He's probably lost some. Oh,
it's
horrible.
It's sensitive.
What a horrible
area.
Thing to say. Sean in D.C., you're on the Mike O'Mara show.
I'm sorry, Beth.
Yeah, the premise of that movie is based on one of the first off-color jokes I ever heard in my life.
Okay, I'd love to hear it sometime. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Brian in Orangevale, California. Is it Orangevale?
Hey, what's up, everyone? Yeah, it's outside of Sacramento, your favorite place, Mike.
What can we do for you, Brian?
I just wanted to know, does it ever show the little, I'm going to call it a creature, and does it look like a mini version?
No, you know how they do it? And
I'm
not giving anything away here. You know how they do it? She's watching a science fiction movie. She's watching a science fiction movie, and
Eating
you see this creature that's like that's like a bug.
Oh,
and they show it in the black and white, and she's like, looking down and then looking up at TV.
So not, if they had
I'm giving this so much more time
I
than
can't
it
wait
should.
To see
you know, they're
it.
Great movies. If they're they, independent yes. films
Classics.
That we should be spending this much time mm-hmm. talking about.
If they had gone more graphic with it, would it have been a better film?
No.
There's no saving it.
No, there's no saving it.
If it had a better plot.
It sucked.
But you don't even know
what's
what the plot is.
The
you don't know. You
the plot. The girl's got teeth down there. There's your plot.
But you never watched it.
I didn't. I didn't watch
the end.
I saw like 2 minutes of dialogue, and okay. I said, enough. Let's get right to the scene where the appendage gets,
What if it was more graphic and she was hot?
This is the music that says we have to break. I'd love to spend a little bit more time. But we have presents to open.
That's
right.
That's true.
Coming up, did we get the champagne yet?
No, I'll go do that now.
I have to put an appeal out. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're in the Fairfax area, you can't have an anniversary celebration without champagne.
I forgot the champagne.
Champagne is...
Something domestic.
Champagne is necessary to have a good time.
It's very good. Meet the bubbles.
We need some bubbly. We'll take cheap stuff, too.
Yeah.
And glasses.
But, if somebody happened to stumble across a little bottle of Vous de Clicquot, you wouldn't have a complaint from me, huh? None of me. So we will celebrate our miraculous one-month anniversary coming up. And later on the broadcast today, Dr. Drew... Mm-hmm. And hypnotist Gary Conrad. Are you getting hypnotized today?
Yes, I guess so.
These are the questions that will be answered on the Mike O'Mara Show as we continue.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.